up, everybody? Welcome to the Rehearsal Report. Today, we are joined by a very dear friend of mine and just an all-around wonderful human being, Audrey Lang. Audrey is a playwright, actor, stage manager, and dramaturg born, raised, and based in New York City. Most recently, you may have seen her work in the 2020 Pride Plays Festival, where she workshopped her piece, You Have to Promise. She spent the fall of 2020 developing her play, Birdie and Kate in the Book of Life, as a member of the Workshop Theater's Writers Intensive, and is continuing to work on that play with Original Idiots writers group, The Generator. Her other plays have been performed in New York, London, and at universities across the country. As an actor, Audrey has appeared in plays, musicals, and films, including Pearl Gluck's award-winning short film, Summer, which premiered at the New York Jewish Film Festival at Lincoln Center, of all places, in 2018. As a dramaturg, Audrey has presented theatrical research and work at the Statera Conference and the Mid-Atlantic Popular and American Cultural Association. As a stage manager, she has done devised work and world premieres, including Composure at the Workshop Theater, Legacy the Musical at Governor's Island, and the Ithaca College BFA 2020 Cabaret at 54 Below. Wow, that is a resume. Welcome to the podcast, Audrey Lang.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks. That was so much. It's always fun to hear someone say all the things
all that the you've crazy done. Things that you've done in your life.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to start out in true theater school fashion with a couple icebreaker questions.
Nice.
All right, so what is your favorite color?
Purple.
What
is your favorite color?
My favorite color is yellow. So what was the last thing you ate today?
Nothing. I haven't had breakfast yet.
Audrey Lang, that is not good self-care.
You probably had lunch already by now.
I just ate a lot of nacho chips. I won't lie. And then finally, I want you to tell me a story about the object closest to you.
I have an advent calendar right next to me. Now you may be wondering, but Audrey, you're Jewish. My sister and I saw all these social media posts about that if you buy an advent calendar the day after the election, or no, the day after Christmas, excuse me, it will count down to the inauguration. So we did that. It was going great. And then we realized that it was going to end 2 days before the inauguration. So we took 2 days off so that it will like land right. But that is right next to me right now, even though my sister and I are currently doing it on Zoom instead of with each other.
So you can't trust what you see on social media. Just want to have a good story. And as always, the world is more complicated.
Yeah.
So one does not become such a prolific theater maker overnight, of course. So we're going to start at the very beginning, which I've heard is a very good place to start. And we're going to dig into your tragic backstory, if you will. So when did you first start getting into theater?
I mean, it's sort of hard to say in a way. I was in camp shows. There's like a story in my family from when I was like four of a camp show of Mother Bird, in which I played the title role, Mother Bird. My grandma loves to tell this story that I was like the littlest kid and had this big loud voice. And then I had an Annie birthday party when I don't know if that was my fifth birthday or my sixth. I guess it must have been sixth because I was in kindergarten. But so I have like loved theater for pretty much as long as I can remember. I guess I would say that when I started sort of seriously looking at it in a different way I still can't even pin down an age exactly, but my grandfather was very passionate about Stephen Sondheim and about Rodgers and Hammerstein. So I watched a whole lot of particularly Stephen Sondheim original Broadway cast recordings, but not like the CD, but like the video of the Broadway casts. I saw like Passion and Sunday in the Park with George, probably Passion. I was like way too young for Passion when I saw it, but the biggest one was Into the Woods. That was his favorite musical. And so we watched that so many times. We would, he had like a cassette tape. One of the cars was very old, and so it took cassette tapes. Maybe they still do. I don't know. But in this case,
I don't think I've seen a car with a cassette tape player in a hot minute.
And it definitely was a pretty old car, at least now it would be. So he had like the original cast recording of Into the Woods on cassette tape, and we would listen to it in the car wherever we were going. And in the other newer car, we would put the Sirius XM on Broadway radio. And this started to like especially be a thing, I guess, like late elementary school and throughout middle school. I started going to a theater day camp in Hillsdale, New York, which is where my grandparents lived. And so I would stay with them for the summer. My sister and I both would. And we would go to day camp there. And that was probably in a big way when I started to look at theater as a career path.
Yeah. So was there a moment that you knew that this might be what you wanted to do for the rest of your life? Like, at what point do you think that it stopped being a hobby?
I think it depends on which sort of artistic identity of the multi-hyphenate identities.
Let's start with playwriting.
Okay. Because that came later. I thought I was going to be an actor for a very long time. But as a playwright, that probably didn't come till high school. I had always loved to write and like loved reading, loved stories. But in high school, through a whole series of events, I ended up joining the MCC Theater Youth Company in New York City, specifically their playwriting lab. I auditioned for both labs, and what I got into was playwriting. And I could have, after a year, switched to acting lab, which is now called performance lab, or I could have done both of them, but I never did because it turned out that I liked playwriting so much. And I was in the playwriting lab for 3 years, but I think it probably wasn't until the end of my second year that I really was like, maybe this is something I could do forever.
And you stayed with Lucy Thurber there, right?
Yes, I did. she's one of the most incredible people I know.
And now, did you have theater in your high school at all? Did you have a drama club program that was accessible to you through that?
Yeah, I went to Bronx Science, which is a decently famous high school, but as you can tell from the name, it's known primarily for its STEM program, but it actually does have a very robust drama program. They do like a play and a musical, and they also have this thing called Sing, which is student written musicals. So they have a lot there. And in my freshman year, I think I auditioned for Sing and I auditioned for the musical, and I actually got into both. And then very quickly discovered that it was very far away from my house. And I was a small, rather young looking freshman in high school. And my parents didn't really want me traveling home alone at night. It was like an hour long trip, maybe more sometimes. So that ended up not happening. And I ended up not doing them, even though I got in. Sorry to all those directors who I messed up. But
it all worked out in the end.
But what happened then was, in freshman year, I got involved with a production of Hairspray at the JCC, the Jewish Community Center in Manhattan, because I lived in Manhattan. And so that was a lot closer. And it was on the Upper West Side, which is where I went to elementary and middle school. So it was a neighborhood I knew a lot better. And it was actually through that I ended up doing MCC, because one of the other actors in that show then told all of us about MCC. And so the following year, sophomore year, was when I auditioned for MCC and joined.
That's, I think, one of those things that it gets you so down in the moment when it feels like, oh, here's this like awesome opportunity, but I just can't right now.
Yeah, it was really hard because I wanted to do the drama program at my school. I wanted to be part of that group, but it just was not the path I ended up taking.
Yeah, but one door closes, another opens. That's just, it really is kind of the way it is in this business sometimes.
Yeah, definitely.
So you do all these incredible things at a young age. You start to have this love that becomes more than a way to spend your time after school. It's become a passion. It's something you want to make a career out of. How does your family react to such a dream?
Well, luckily, it wasn't too much of a surprise, since I'd been going to theater camp and having Annie birthday parties since I was five or six.
They knew what they were getting into.
Pretty much. They have been overall very supportive. I mean, not even overall, they've been very supportive. And I would say, if anything, I think sometimes from some extended family, there was a little bit of worry more than anything about just like, are you going to be okay?
Yeah.
But luckily, like, the supportiveness also extends to that many members of my immediate and extended family have seen shows that I've been in, shows that I've written, sort of the whole range of things. And that tends to help because luckily they've mostly been pretty good.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times what you perceive to be as, like you're saying, that worry, it comes from a place of love.
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of the times your family just wants to make sure that you're going to have a good life. And that life may not look like how they have lived their lives. And so there's this worry, but I think it does come from a place of love a lot of the time.
Yeah, I think so too.
As I mentioned earlier, you don't really pigeonhole yourself into one category as an artist. You're a playwright, you're an actor, you're a stage manager, you're a dramaturg. And in the business, we call that a multi-hyphenate theater artist. Did you always know that you kind of wanted to do a little bit of everything?
Yes and no. Okay. When I was younger, I thought that I was going to be an actor and I thought I was going to get a BFA in musical theater. That's what I thought I was going to do. But I always did love to write. Like I said, it wasn't until high school that I really discovered playwriting, but I had always loved to write. And so it's funny, actually, because I used to say that I was going to be an actor and a teacher and a writer. So different kind of multi-hyphenate. But also still kind of true now that I think about it.
You do teach. You did teach.
I do teach. Yeah. So that's funny. But so I guess it was really college when I started looking at myself as a multi-hyphenate theater artist. That was also probably around the first time I heard the term multi-hyphenate.
Yeah, that was my next question. How did you come to associate that identity with what you were doing?
I don't even remember where I first heard the word. I heard it at some point in college. And I mean, even within my freshman year, I think I did more than just one thing. I did a couple of different readings of my plays, and I didn't act in anything big, but I acted in a couple of the 10-minute plays that people wrote for playwriting class in their final presentations. And I didn't do any dramaturgy yet, but in the second semester of my freshman year at Ithaca College, I was recruited to work backstage on the Baltimore Waltz, which is one of my favorite plays still to this day, because they needed someone to do a bunch of quick changes. And I don't think they even knew this at the time, but in high school, I had apprenticed at the Mack Haden Theater, which was the theater that ran my theater camp.
That's right. Yeah.
At the time. And I, most of what I had done as an apprentice was quick costume changes. So that was a very fun introduction to college. And then I very quickly, right after that, they also needed extra hands on another studio production, The Servant of Two Masters. So I worked on that too. Mostly the actors were throwing plates out the door of the studio and I caught them.
That's incredible.
So that was sort of my introduction to stage management. Mm-hmm. And all of that happened freshman year. Dramaturgy didn't come till a little bit later.
Mm-hmm. You and I, we got to know each other through a mutual friend. And I was a freshman when you were a junior, which at that point you felt like infinitely my superior. I thought you were so cool. Like, oh, she's too cool to ever want to talk to me.
This is totally not how I felt, to be clear.
I thought you were just like so awesome because like I think when you're a freshman or a first year, you think that, how do I phrase that? I think that when you're a first year, part of it is you are, in my case, I was 17 when I started college, and to meet people that were like 20, 21, 22, like they very much felt like grown-ups to me. And like you felt like a grown-up when I got to know you. But you gave me such great advice that first year that I still think about a lot, honestly. Like you were the first person that told me, like, you don't have to wait to start your career. Like you don't have to sit around and take classes. You can start doing what you want to do now. Mm-hmm. And like you were saying earlier, you had readings of your plays. You asked people to do it and they said yes. How did you come to that conclusion? Because I still carry that advice with me in a lot that I do.
It was sort of something I had been doing forever, mm-hmm. is part of it. I mean, among other things, like my friends and I in eighth grade were frustrated that our middle school didn't have a theater program. So we started a theater program. Mm-hmm. And I mean, going back even further, in fifth grade, I started a class newspaper just because I thought we should have one.
Yeah.
So doing things just because I thought we should do them was sort of something I had always been doing. But specifically in college, I think I had gone from 3 years of being in Lucy Thurber's class and having this wonderful place where I was, you know, sharing scenes, not every week, but like every other week, and meeting with playwright, like my playwright peers every week. And I went from that to feeling not like I didn't have a community, but I just definitely did not have the same kind of community.
Yeah.
Because I didn't take playwriting until sophomore year. Mm-hmm. And even then, that's only one semester. Mm-hmm. And so I really missed that. And it's not like we were having readings of our plays every week at MCC, but that was the other thing, was that each summer at the end of the school year at MCC, they have this thing called the Fresh Play Festival, where they do like a week-long workshop and a staged reading of your play. Mm-hmm. And as a high school student, I mean, to have professional actors and a professional director come in and work on your play,
it's so surreal.
And to like take you seriously.
Yeah.
So that was the other thing, is that I was coming off of these 3 years of being taken seriously as an artist in a big way. And so mm-hmm. I took myself seriously mm-hmm. very quickly, I think.
Yeah.
And so I guess it was not a big thing to me to say to a bunch of friends, let's, you know, sit around and do a reading of my play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now you graduated in 2020.
Yes.
So sorry about that.
It is what it is.
So now that you are a little bit removed from your formal education as an artist, is there anything about the system in general of theater education that if you had infinite resources and infinite influence, what would you change about it?
That's such a big question. And I sort of want to start from where I thought I was starting, which is the BFA musical theater mm-hmm. thing, mm-hmm. which is what I thought I was going to do in college. And I went through that whole audition process. And honestly, I don't know what I would change. And I think a lot has changed since I did it, actually. I think it's been like, what, 5 or 6 years? Gosh. So 5 years, I guess, since I did that. So a lot has changed already. But I sort of wish that someone had told me early on that there was a way to be a multi-hyphenate, yeah. and that it was not by doing a BFA program.
Yeah.
Which doesn't mean that you can't do a BFA program and decide to be a multi-hyphenate, but that's not the education you're going to get from that yeah. program. Mm-hmm.
It does limit you in certain ways. And this is not to like say bad things about BFAs. I've got a lot of friends that are BFAs.
Yeah.
They love it. They do incredible, incredible work. We need them in this industry. But it's when you're a kid and you're dreaming of being a theater person, I think a lot of times that's what you by default kind of imagine yourself doing, is doing a BFA
program. Yeah.
And it isn't the right choice for everyone.
It definitely would not have been the right choice for me if I had had that option. I do also think, and I'm saying this as a cisgender white woman, but that there are definitely still sort of those stereotypes about what an actor is allowed to look like.
Yeah, for sure.
And I am saying that probably from the most privileged place, but I still think that that's true. Mm-hmm. And that was a complicated thing for me in going through that process with my own like thoughts about self-image and stuff. But yeah. what happened in the end was that I got into the BA Theater Studies program at Ithaca, as you know, which is a place, I mean, it's a major that is designated as a place for multi-hyphenates. And that has its own complications, because I think the biggest thing that I would change is hard even to explain, because on the one hand, I think it's really great and it's one of the most important parts of that program and that major that people are allowed to come there and be multi-hyphenate artists mm-hmm. and want to do more than one thing. But at the same time, I think that that sometimes comes at the expense of specialization.
Yeah.
And at the expense of people who are really passionate about one of the things in that major, mm-hmm. which doesn't, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be required to, you know, take classes in all the things. I think that just makes you a better artist. But that I think was something that was frustrating to me, was the inability to go deeper sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. So for those that aren't familiar with most BFA programs, the one that the two of us are in, at Ithaca College, you can either choose to dabble in many different aspects of theater, like directing, playwriting, dramaturgy, or you can specialize in one of them. But because the education is so well-rounded at times, it does make it difficult to really narrow in on something that you want to do. So it is a blessing and a curse in some ways.
Yeah, and I think it's also important, in case anyone is listening and like considering this program at Ithaca, it's important to just say that the specializations are not official designations.
Yes, they're not concentrations yeah. the way they are in other majors.
But it is definitely something that a lot of people come in with, is a sort of deep feeling that directing is what they're meant to do, or in my case, playwriting mm-hmm. is probably the primary thing.
Yeah. And another thing that you told me when I was but a wee freshman that I still think about is, like, if you want to be, like, for me, my specialization is dramaturgy. And you told me, if you want to be a dramaturg, call yourself a dramaturg. Like, just walk up to people and introduce someone, like, hi, I'm Rachel. I'm a dramaturg. Let's do a project together. Like, people don't always have to know right away how little you know about everything.
Well, and the secret here is that Rachel actually does know a lot of things about dramaturgy, and she kind of always has. But
just reframing that thought process was so helpful to me.
Yeah. And I mean, I think, again, that really goes back to my roots at MCC mm-hmm. because there you walked in the door and you were called a playwright.
Yeah.
And so that really is something that I've tried to tell other people. But what's funny is that it's something that I struggle a lot with in my other identities. Mm-hmm. I have a really hard time calling myself a dramaturg, because mm-hmm. I think, oh, well, I've dramaturged one thing ever. And it was an independent study project that I wanted to do. So I told everyone I was doing it. So does that count? And like, historically, I've had a hard time calling myself a stage manager. And even now, like, I sometimes have a hard time calling myself an actor, because, which I guess is maybe one of the hard things of being a multi-hyphenate, is that mm-hmm. for me, I think playwriting is the primary thing. And I love all of these other things, but sometimes it's a hard identity thing calling myself the other things. But yeah. I do think that as soon as you start calling yourself something, people will quickly take note of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you know yourself, I think, better than strangers do.
Mm-hmm.
And people will take you seriously if you act like you deserve to be taken seriously.
Yeah, I definitely think so.
So looking back on your education, we kind of touched on this a little already, but what was the most important thing that you feel you learned in your college experience?
I think, honestly, it's some of what you mentioned that apparently, you know, I delivered to you, which I don't remember that, but it totally sounds like things I would say. but I think it's, you know, make your own work, but more than just make your own work, because, you know, I'm a playwright. I make, like, that is by definition what I do.
Mm-hmm.
But that if you are not an active participant in your education and you are not sort of pushing in an active way to get the things you want, like no one's going to come along and give those to you.
Yeah.
Acting is in some ways a different animal because you have to audition for it. Mm-hmm. And so people, like, you can't just take that for yourself. But if you don't keep auditioning for things, even if it's not the main stage shows in a theater department, that's never what I did as an actor in college. But like that, if you want to act, you have to go pursue those opportunities.
Yeah. Like somebody's always making a short film for their thesis.
Oh, I did one of those.
I tried out for one and didn't get in.
I mean, I tried out for a whole lot and there was only one that I actually did. And it was the gay one, obviously. Yeah. But you have to seek out the opportunities that you want, both in and outside of the school setting.
Yeah.
But while you're in college, like you really have to go look for what you want and ask for what you want. Mm-hmm. But not just ask for it, like tell people what you want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how are you continuing your education post-graduation?
I'm still writing. Of course, I'm doing a lot of writing on my own. I think, honestly, as a playwright, one of the exciting things is that every time I go into a rehearsal or workshop process, I'm learning something new. Pretty much right after graduation, back in June, I was so, so fortunate to get to have my play workshopped in the Pride Place. It was a festival that I had like heard about the previous year when it happened for the first time, but I didn't get to go see it because of the schedule at my internship and just my life schedule at the time. And so then not just getting to see it, but getting to be a part of it was the most amazing thing, even though it was all virtual.
Yeah.
But that process was such an experience of growth for me. I don't know exactly how many, maybe one or two virtual workshop processes since, or been prepping for a few. And I'm just sort of amazed by how much each one is an experience of growth, because I go in thinking I know how to do this and I know how to workshop a play. I've done this a bunch of times before and each one is so different. Mm-hmm. It depends on the play and it depends on the people in the room. Pride Plays, it was a play that I had been working on in one way or another for 4 years already. And so I thought that I was done. I didn't know what we were going to do. And it turned out the play changed radically in that time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whereas more recently, I was workshopping another play of mine with Possibilities Theater Company. And this was a brand new play that I had just written. And so But in a similar way, I had gotten really attached to the structure I had created. And so I was still a little bit like, but what's going to change? So I guess maybe that is the question that I have, that I feel like I ask every time is, but how can I change anything?
Mm-hmm.
And I walked out at the end of that week with an entirely new play from what I had written initially.
It's so scary, but also so exhilarating.
And that process was totally different from Pride Plays because I spent the first half of our rehearsal time just sort of listening to the actors work on what was there because I couldn't figure out what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it cracked open for me with this one actor who only had an offstage voice character. And that was the key to the play, was that that character needed to be an actual character in the play.
Yeah.
That was what changed the whole play.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really is different every time.
Yeah. And my last question for you is, what advice would you give to people trying to decide what kind of theater education is right for them?
I would say, first of all, don't be as attached to a BFA as I was. I didn't even end up getting a BFA, but I spent a lot of time hung up on like the designation of BFA versus BA.
Mm-hmm.
And the point really is the program and what what courses you're going to take and what professors you're going to have and what you're going to do with what they give you. So it's much more about that than about whether you're getting a Bachelor of Arts or a Bachelor of Fine Arts. And so that's the first thing. I would also say don't just look at the major that you're applying to, but look at the entire theater department that you're applying to. Because there's a lot of very different structures of schools.
True.
You know, Ithaca, as you know, Rachel, is a place that has, what is it, six majors now? Is that a thing?
Six, yes.
Six different ways to be a theater major. But there are other schools where there's just one theater, yeah. Like there's just one BA in theater, and that is a very different experience than
that's also very different from a conservatory setting.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of very different ways to be a theater major, which I don't think I fully knew at the time that I was applying to college. And even outside of BA versus BFA, there's just so many different places, and you're going to have a totally different experience based on that.
Thank you very much, Audrey Lang.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're going to end with a little game. So I have a theory that 90% of all people who are theater artists have been involved in a semi-traumatic production of the musical Annie. Is this true to your experience, Audrey?
Well, it wasn't traumatic. No, you know what? Okay.
Everything.
Annie is a musical that I have a deep love affair with. I have loved Annie for so many years. I had an Annie birthday party. I talked about that like twice already. And I wanted to be in it so badly. And for so many years, I never was. I auditioned for the 2012 Broadway revival a couple times. That was the traumatic experience. Not the audition itself, but one of the times I went with a sprained ankle.
Oh, man.
That was interesting. I walked
in.
Did
you like have to dance?
No, this was just the singing portion.
Okay.
But I walked in with like, I forget what it was called, but this like special kind of cast on my ankle. And I think they looked at me and were like, no way. But in high school, I actually finally got to be in a production of Annie Jr. And I was like one of the maids in the apple cellar. And so it wasn't like a big starring role or anything, but I had a great time because I finally got to be an Annie.
So it ended up being okay.
It did. It really
Again,
did.
Again, one door closes, another opens.
Right.
So where can our audience find you online if they're interested in learning more about you and your work?
You can check out my website, which is audreyglang.com. I'm also on New Play Exchange and Instagram and Twitter at Audrey G. Lang.
And as for us, you can find us on Instagram at The Rehearsal Report. Do you have any questions for people making cool theater or guests you want to hear from? You can email us at therehearsalreport@gmail.com. If you like what you hear on the podcast, leave us a little review. It really helps us so much. Thank you so much for joining us today. And never forget, whoever you are, wherever you are, theater is not an impossible career, and you are not alone in your crazy dreams. I promise. See you next week.